So today we take a look at the last of the prophets in this mini-series. And we've thought of Elisha, Amos, and last week Hosea, and this week Isaiah. And in order to remind you of the prophets we've encountered, I could have told some fairly terrible jokes, like knock knock, Amos, a mosquito. Okay. And that's pretty terrible, so I wouldn't have done that to you. But instead, I think what we're better off doing is looking at the word of the Lord. And so if you turn to Isaiah chapter 1. And if you're able, I wonder if you would like to stand as we read God's word, God's living word this morning. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts, and your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Would you like to be seated? I wonder, have you ever been in a situation where you feel you're not being listened to? When you could be face to face with someone and you say something that might be of great importance to you, and yet the other person is so busily speaking and is so busily caught up in what they're trying to convey. You know, you just know when you've not been listened to what you've said. They're too busy, perhaps, recounting their own issues. I know of a particular lady who doesn't stop talking. She doesn't live here, it's okay. She can phone you and you can go off, you can make a cup of coffee, you can do some ironing and then come back and she's still talking. And she's talking about herself. And she simply doesn't listen to anyone. She's very delightful, but she just doesn't listen. Well, we may become a bit irritated with people who are like that. But I would suggest that we too are often like that. We are sometimes like that because God often tries to get our attention. Isaiah was a prophet during a time when the nation of Israel had been divided into two kingdoms, like Australia Southern and Australia Eastern, but we won't go there. The two kingdoms were Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and the northern kingdom had sinned greatly against God. Isaiah was primarily a prophet to Judah, but his message was also for the northern kingdom. Now, what Isaiah had to say didn't go down too well. This prophet called the people and the king to account. He wasn't popular. The people were rebelling against God. They were doing everything that they shouldn't be. They'd broken their covenant to God, and God sent a warning to the people, but they refused to listen, and finally he would give his judgment. Well, he will give his judgment. And what Isaiah had to speak into didn't make him popular. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder, do we take the easy route sometimes and speak what people want to hear because we wish to be popular? Paul says in Galatians 1:10, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. And being Christ's servant sometimes means not being popular. And it certainly is sometimes costly. Isaiah, therefore, certainly was Christ's servant. And so I have just two key words for us this morning: attention and justice. Attention, because Isaiah was sent by God to get the people's attention, and they gave it to him. But they gave it because they didn't like what they heard, so they were pretty cross. They were pretty upset with him. They were pretty angry. And this certainly got their attention, so they didn't respond well. You may or may not have seen people out Pokemon hunting. Presumably, you've seen the media covering it, and if you need to know any top tips about Pokemon hunting, please see Erin after this time of worship. One of her tips includes that you're able to find them on the break wall. Well, people have, in recent days, been so consumed with catching a Pokemon, and I don't suspect, well, maybe you're all Pokemon hunters. But lots of people have been walking along paying too much attention to their phones so that they don't see where they are headed. And they don't see who or what they've bumped into. And the person who's been bumped into doesn't respond well either. Well, there may not have been Pokemon to have caught in Isaiah's day, but the people were intent on doing what they were doing. They were so busy, focused on what they were doing. They were caught up in the ways that aren't of God, that they needed Isaiah to help them to think about redirecting their focus and to give attention to the one who deserves our attention. You see, it could be that we come to worship once a week. We come and do the right things. We even wear the correct tights, men. You may not even wear the correct tights, but you still may have not been giving God the attention he deserves. It's so very easy to pop in on a Sunday morning, to give a bit of a nod to God in worship and then to leave again, returning home to get through another week at work or whatever you do, and not give him our full attention. As with being a prophet, giving God our full attention can potentially be costly. Giving him our attention can mean a life-changing decision will be made. It could even, in the short term, be easier for us not to give him our full attention because we might be scared of what he might say. If you don't give your family and friends attention, if you ignore them, I imagine they may get a little bit cheesed off with you. Don't try it as an experiment, by the way. But just take it as fact, they would get annoyed with you. Think for a moment in your own life, has God gone to lengths to get your attention? Verse 1, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. He wants your attention. He wants my attention, and he wants it not just for a little bit of time each week. We too, as we've just read, cannot turn our backs on him. Why would we want to? But the warning is clear for us that if he doesn't have our attention, we are no better than Sodom or Gomorrah, the most wicked of all cities, as Genesis 19 reminds us. And we're also reminded that the consequences of turning our backs on the Lord are self-imposed. Verses 5 to 9 pretty well demonstrate that. Why on earth would we want to be beaten anymore? Why would we want to bring about harm to ourselves? Why would we want untreated wounds when the great healer himself can heal? Why do we? Because we don't listen to God. Has he got your attention? Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Verse 10. At about the age of 19, I went travelling around Europe for a month with my sister. And we went travelling in the cheapest way possible. We went with backpacks and sleeping on trains and eating French bread and drinking water. And so we woke up as the train pulled into Munich. But we only got woken up when we heard a fairly ferocious German policeman call out through a bullhorn. And I'd say it with a German accent, but it could be offensive. And my kids tell me that I can't do a German accent or any accent. But he said, "Achtung, stop what you're doing and get off the train," really loudly. Of all the ways to wake up and to spring into action, that's one. Well, here God says, stop what you're doing and help, and with my help, sort yourself out. Stop what you're doing. Now, that doesn't just apply to the person sitting next to you. This applies to us all. God says, for goodness sake, stop all those silly practices. Stop trying to impress me. Stop trying to impress others. Stop trying doing all of those pointless things that don't bring glory to me, because that's what he created us for, to bring glory to him. Stop your meaningless sacrifices. For goodness sake, stop it. Verse 16 says, stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. So turn from those wrong things, but instead turn to seek justice. And verse 17 continues, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. So stop doing what you are doing, and he offers an alternative, and do instead what I desire. Stop putting on a show and performing, and start being who we say we are. In the Salvation Army, we have the sometimes helpful metaphor of soldiery. And whether we've signed the Articles of War or whether we haven't, the fact that you are a disciple of Christ doesn't alter the fact that we are each called to go into all the world and to preach the good news of Jesus. Now, to me, a soldier of the military would get sacked if they were to do nothing. I have some toy soldiers, and they usually sit on the bookcase in the office, waiting for children to come in and play with. The toy soldiers sit there doing nothing. They don't even have the decency to get out and dance, do a dance when we've all gone home, like in Toy Story. All they do is sit there. In the military, if soldiers just sat there, or if they were lazy, they'd be booted out, because a soldier must serve. I know a few real soldiers of the military, and they're pretty busy. They're certainly serving and certainly are soldiers of action. If the military soldiers that I know of were to take time to find themselves, they would be gone, no question. The thing is, we know who we are. We looked at this last week. We've looked at it. We look at it often. We know who we are. Our identity is found in Christ. So we have an advantage against the enemy. As soldiers of King Jesus, whether we've signed the Articles of War or not, we are soldiers of King Jesus. As soldiers, as his soldiers, we're called to action. We're not called to be sitting soldiers. We are called to action. Indeed, we may well not be as mobile as we once were. However, in the war of salvation, there is a job for everyone, because there's no record in my Bible of opt-out clauses. So we soldiers of King Jesus are called to seek justice, because it says so in the Bible. We are called to seek justice for whom people can't seek justice themselves. And again, we have the advantage because we serve the God of justice. Now, I hear what you may be thinking, but I don't need to do that because I'm part of the Salvation Army and social services already do that. Or you could be thinking, I'm way too busy for that. Why are we too busy? Is it because perhaps we've got caught up in doing those meaningless, fruitless things in those verses that we have already shared? Perhaps we need to rethink the way in which we spend our time. Perhaps we need to have a rethink with God and make some changes of how we spend our time. I speak to myself too. How we spend our time here has an effect on how we will spend eternity. John Ortberg writes, sin is not just the wrong stuff we do. It's the good we don't do. It's the starving children we don't want to look at. It's the volunteering we avoid. It's the poor we don't want to serve. It's the money we don't want to give. Is not seeking justice sin? Perhaps we need to ask God to wash ourselves again today. Last night, I guess like some of you, we were watching the cycling from Rio, and there were some beautiful beaches right near the slums or the favela. And one commentator said he was too scared. He was just joking. He said he was too scared to go into those slums. But we praise God for people who do go in. We praise God too that we don't have to wait for the agency of choice to recommend a way in which to seek God's justice. Praise God that we don't have to save doing God's justice up for an international cause until we find the airfare or whatever, because we can seek God's justice locally in the everyday. God loves us equally, and he wants us to have fullness of life. But if you see someone not being treated equally, intervene. Put yourself in a position where you will hear the prompting from God. Justice is actively pleading the cause of the oppressed. And God calls us all to be involved. The world, although very well connected by technology, is huge, and the issues of the world today are huge. We know that. And they're huge as they've always been throughout the ages. But you and I can make a difference. You are the Salvation Army, and you can make a difference. Let us not be dependent upon the legacy of the Salvation Army's history of seeking God's justice. May God mobilise us to be his soldiers fighting for his cause. His, not ours, by the way. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, therefore take up the full armour of God, so that you will be able to resist evil in the day, and having done everything, stand firm. If you don't want to be a soldier, you can't claim the armour, because in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. A soldier of action. So, friends, we're not in for a comfortable ride if we accept the love of Jesus. If we accept the love of Jesus, that's great. That will get us to heaven. But we're called to bring others to the throne of God too. How can we do that? We can show the character of God through the way in which we live. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God? You see, I'm not sure that we've given God our full attention enough. I'm not sure that I have. What does the Lord require of you? In the whole of Isaiah chapter 1, the word righteous occurs three times. And the Hebrew word for justice, which is spelt S-H-P-T, I'm not going to say that, but it means judge, to establish justice, and it appears six times. If you were to look at this text closely, you'd notice that every verse that includes righteousness also contains a form of the Hebrew word justice. In fact, a more accurate translation actually would be establish justice for the orphan. And looking at it closer, you could easily conclude that the essence of God's word is actually justice. The existence of justice and righteousness is to be measured by whether the weakest or the most vulnerable members of society are being attended to and provided for. And verses 16 and 17, as we saw before, focuses on justice towards the oppressed, to the widows and the orphans, all categories of people who are vulnerable and without ordinary social protection. So this, therefore, is a call to make sure that our traditions are still vitally connected to the kingdom work to which God still calls us individually as well as the Salvation Army that he raised up and with which he has not yet finished. These verses we've shared this morning are verses of contrast. If we continue our self-glorifying practices, if we do not pay attention to God and consistently do so, there will be consequences. If we do pay our full attention to God and to his desires, our lives will be lived as he intends. And so the final verses summarise this. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So may we listen to the word of the Lord. May we respond to the word of the Lord. Now, we've all at some point got caught up in things that aren't important, things that haven't been about glorifying God because we have all fallen short. But there's a way back. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And in chapter 53 of Isaiah, we're reminded of how much we've all messed up, but he alone can wash us clean because he was pierced for our transgressions. If we are willing and obedient, the blood of Jesus can remove the toughest, most dirty, grimiest, foulest, deceitful, crude, muddiest, blackest stain. And the blood that Jesus shed for you can do that. For others. Now, may we show something of the character and love of Jesus as we show something of his justice to others, including fellow travellers of this fellowship. God's justice is impartial and fair, and God's justice doesn't exclude anyone. What does the Lord require of you? So, Father God, we seek you. And you have our attention. Father God, what is on your heart? Tell me what to do. What does the Lord require of you? Amen.